Hello, world. I'm Rick Button. News, information, and comment. Coming up. I know you know this. God has ordained prayer as a way to approach Him for direction and for help. The Savior's life exemplified this. He prayed before selecting His disciples, before feeding the 5,000, and raising Lazarus from the dead. And at Gethsemane, as He was about to face His trial and crucifixion, Jesus spent time praying intensely. The Savior's whole life was one long communion with His Father so He could know and achieve God's will. The Apostle Paul had the same desire for himself and also for the church. His prayer that the Colossians would understand and follow God's plan. And that can serve as a model for our own. He asked the Father to give them wise minds and spirits attuned to His will, Colossians 1:9. Both are developed by the Holy Spirit in response to prayer. Imagine the glory that is brought to God when our character and conduct and conversation give evidence of Christ's presence in our life. He desires to accomplish this in us, but first, we gotta ask. Big manhunt underway in Houston, Texas again today for a gunman who attacked a young family in a drive-by shooting, killing a 7-year-old girl. Jasmine Barnes, her 3 sisters, and mom, LaPortia Washington, were driving when an unknown man pulled up alongside them in a pickup truck, a guy in his 40s with a beard, and just opened fire on the automobile. Jasmine and Ms. Washington were shot. The 7-year-old died in the back seat as a result of her wounds. Police believe they were targeted at random and have not confirmed a motive. Ms. Washington, the mom, said, "Did I do something wrong? Did I make a wrong turn in front of him? Did I do anything wrong or cause this man to come up and fire shots at my car? I didn't. I didn't do anything. He just fired at us for no reason." How sad. And this is the way it is in Mexico. The mayor of a town in the Mexican state of Oaxaca was killed less than 2 hours after he officially took office. Alejandro Aparicio had been sworn in as mayor on Tuesday and on his way to a meeting at City Hall along with some of his colleagues when a man opened fire and struck him. The mayor and at least 3 others were quickly taken to a local hospital where the mayor was pronounced dead. He was touring several city offices and was surrounded by supporters when he was shot right there on the street. My, what a way to live and die in Mexico. A prominent hospital in Cleveland, Ohio, fired a first-year resident after discovering anti-Semitic comments on her social media post. Laura Kalab worked as a first-year resident at the Cleveland Clinic from July to September of 2018. Wow, that's a big blow for Cleveland Clinic. My sister, my goodness, years they spent with their son at Cleveland Clinic, month after month, got a man who had a heart transplant at Cleveland Clinic. And, I mean, a lot of people are in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area go there. What was this woman thinking? She has since deleted all of her social media, but screenshots of her post dating back to 2011 have been documented. To those in the know, Kalab's post called for violence against Jews, defended Hamas, trivialized the Holocaust, and repeatedly compared Israel to Nazi Germany. In one now-deleted tweet, the doctor said, "I'll purposely give all the Yahud the wrong meds." Yahud is an Arabic term for Jewish people. Other tweets made reference to Jewish dogs. Allah will take the Jews. Do you know that 1/3 of those surveyed in America do not believe the Holocaust really happened? Really weird. Well, China says put that in your space pipe and smoke it. China successfully landed a spacecraft on the far side of the moon Thursday, becoming the first country to ever land on that side of the moon that faces away from the Earth. Really? The official China Central Television Agency said the lunar explorer landed at 10:26 a.m., and a professor there at the University of Science and Technology who worked with Beijing on that mission said The success is a major milestone for the country and establishes it as a pioneer in space exploration. Oh, really? We have been able to do something the United States has never done. Okay. Yesterday we talked about not enough sauce at the Taco Bell drive-thru and someone pulled out a gun and started shooting. Well, now we'll go to McDonald's. Police in Florida arrested a man for assaulting two employees on New Year's Eve at McDonald's, with a witness capturing the incident in a viral video. Daniel Taylor, who turned 40 the day before his arrest, was charged with two counts of battery at St. Petersburg after becoming violent over a policy that required straws to be requested at the counter. Straws. All of this over a straw, said one employee. He yelled at us. There were no drinking straws here. It looks like someone is not doing their job here, and it got worse. Can you imagine? People are just crazy. And Nancy says, give me that gavel. House Democrats sweeping into power this week on a campaign promise of improving government for ordinary citizens in America. But first, they'll have to get government reopened from the partial shutdown. As the Congress gavels in for its 116th session, the early votes will be the usual ones, establishing the House rules and electing the House Speaker, presumably California's Democrat Nancy Pelosi. But the new majority will quickly pivot today to a pair of bills to fund the parts of the government that have been shuttered in the dispute over money for President Donald Trump's border wall with Mexico. It's a cold opening for the new majority, setting up an early confrontation with the Republican-led Senate and the White House, and testing the House Democrats' ability to make good on their campaign pledge to focus on kitchen table issues in the new era of divided government. Oh, they'll need a lot of prayer. My prediction, as always, same old, politics as usual. So, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with the president and his strong stand for the wall, huh? Ann Coulter, perhaps the most vocal Trump supporter, pushing for a wall on the southern border, said yesterday the president is going to cave on his demand. Yeah, in an interview, she said, for one thing, he actually did shut down the government, though, don't worry, he is going to fold up in the end. Coulter decried the president last month after the Senate passed a continuing resolution to stave off a government shutdown that didn't allocate funding for a border wall. And why, the conservatives on radio started screaming, and oh yeah, the president heard that, no question about it. Two or three, Rush Limbaugh, Matt Drudge, oh, several. So the question remains, what is happening in conservative America? More news right after this. You know, every Christian's journey is unique. Sure it is. Yet certain stages of growth should be common to all of God's children. For example, the Lord wants to teach new followers basic principles as a foundation on which to build. He expresses these truths through other believers, His Word, and life circumstances. That happens to all of us, and God allows us to serve Him. We were created to do good works, and this becomes evident as Christians glorify Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. The Lord lets us experience frustrated inadequacy. Pride and self-confidence are threats to spiritual growth. Therefore, our Father brings us to the place where we realize we can achieve nothing of any real value without divine guidance and power. To make freedom a reality, the Father brings His children face to face with whatever holds them captive. We often carry hurts and fears and other baggage, and on our own, we have no idea how to gain victory, right? And God allows us to struggle through such issues with His help. As we surrender to Him and seek His perspective, He works to liberate us. And the Lord teaches us how to live the exchanged life, Galatians 2:20. Our old sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, and the Savior's life is expressed through us as we surrender the Holy Spirit's influence. Do you recognize any of these stages in life as you look back over your walk with Jesus? I hope so. Maybe we'll call this, where there's a crook, there's a way. Thieves used mechanical diggers yesterday in Italy to pry open an armored van on a highway in southern Italy and made off with more than, about $2.3 million in cash. The blue security van had left the city and was carrying pensions to be distributed in post offices in nearby Matera. When it was blocked in the road by two trucks, looked like they were doing construction. Not the case. These two deep diggers then tore open the van using their mechanical arms like a can opener to gain access to the cash. The vehicles were then set ablaze as the hooded thieves escaped with their loot in a waiting car. Okay, what's going on with you people in New Jersey?
Huh?
What is wrong with New Jersey? People are on the outs with their own state. More people moved out of the Garden State in 2018 than any other state in the nation, according to a new study by United Van Lines, though New York wasn't far behind. New Jersey, which topped the list of the most moved from states, was followed by Illinois, Connecticut, and the Empire State. Well, the Northeast region continues to see more residents leaving than moving in, with 57% of all moves within the Northeast U.S. being outbound. Other states people are leaving: Ohio, Massachusetts, Iowa, Montana, and Michigan. Vermont, whose population is the second smallest in America, was the only Northeast state that made the most moved-into list. And go west, young man, to fill out the top five: Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, and Arizona. Apple sending up the white flag? Well, not really. Crying foul? Now that might be the case. Apple Incorporated slashed its quarterly revenue forecast for the first time in more than 15 years. An unprecedented move in the Tim Cook era that was prompted by a downturn in sales of iPhones in China. The surprise cut issued yesterday in a letter from the chief executives to investors renews concerns about, waning demand for Apple's marquee product, the iPhone. Oh, losing its appeal maybe, huh? It makes up the vast share of its revenue and has vaulted the company's value and its profits. Sure it has. It also raises fresh questions about Apple's prospects in China, the world's largest smartphone market, which represents nearly 20% of all Apple sales. And it was the latest sign, they say, of a broader economic malaise in China, fueled by trade tensions with the United States. So there you have it, Apple making a rare cut to sales guidance today. Too many big waves, too much garbage. A 60-foot chunk of the ocean cleanup device deployed with much fanfare in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch in October is broken off, and the entire plastic collection system is being towed back to port for an overhaul. The break was discovered December the 29th during a routine inspection. They say the fracture was caused by material fatigue. That's likely because of the intense action of the waves that puts tremendous stress on objects in the water. I think that thing was designed by a kid, wasn't it? And it's pretty fascinating trying to get all of that plastic out of the ocean, at least a start. This whole nonprofit program came out of Rotterdam in the Netherlands, a center for marine engineering, but the prototype was built in San Francisco Bay because it's close to the world's largest ocean garbage area, known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. And two comments from our Facebook page. Rick Stubblefield up in Detroit. Elizabeth Warren announces she's going to run for president in 2020. The Democratic National Convention believes she can win, but I have reservations. That's good, Rick. And then how about this one? Ted Elm in Duluth, Minnesota. If a woman's upset, hold her. Tell her how beautiful she is. If she starts to growl, retreat to a safe distance and throw chocolate at her. Your wife's gonna kill you. Let's take a break. This is a good place. If you've just tuned in, this is Hello World, news, information, and comment from a Christian perspective. I'm Dr. Greg Patton, pastor of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I have been involved in radio and television news since I was about 12. Oh, God has been good. I'm glad that he saved me 45 years ago and that we are where we are today, being able to serve him. A big thank you to this radio station for carrying the broadcast each day at this time, and certainly a big thank you to you, the audience. We would be, we wouldn't be here without you. Thank you for your support in so many ways. Don't forget our Facebook page. Appreciate those of you that have joined us, liked us on Facebook, and are following us. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. News from a Christian perspective. Oh, today, more than ever, we really need it. Well, the world today, our culture, you have to admit, is obsessed with external beauty. But as hard as we may try to improve our outward appearance, we are all eventually going to experience the effects of aging. Am there doing that. Far more important is, I think, inner character, don't you? Which lasts for all eternity. And one of the most attractive inward qualities is kindness. That's a good topic. Let's call it the beauty of kindness, huh? People characterized by kindness are considerate, they're loving, tender-hearted, right? Helpful, gentle. Those on the other end of the spectrum are quick-tempered. They're bitter people, crude and demanding. Basically, the difference has to do with whether one's focus is on self or on others. God is characterized by kindness, is he not? Even to ungrateful and evil men. Read Luke 6:35. As Christians, you and I should also put on this attractive quality, according to Colossians 3:12. We have the Holy Spirit within. The kindness is his fruit displayed in our words and our actions in the world today. Authentic kindness does not depend on how others treat you, nor is it a manipulation to get what we want out of life. Kindness is a selfless quality that always considers what's best for the other person. Now, that's whether they deserve it or not. However, some people think that not standing up for themselves and their rights is a real sign of weakness. But let me ask you, which takes more strength, to be kind when mistreated or to lash out at people? One purpose of God's kindness is to lead people to repentance, is it not? Romans 2:4. When we display this quality, he can use us to draw others to himself. In this same area, the Apostle Paul lived in such an age when sensuality, the pursuit of pleasure, rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ were very prevalent. And in response, he wrote letters urging Christians not to follow in the ways of the world. Like those early believers, we are to pursue godliness ourselves today by, well, we present our bodies to God, our total being, mind, our will, physical body. Your personality and emotions are to be turned over to our Heavenly Father, according to James 4:7. Submitting ourselves to the Lord requires both a definite decision to give him control and a daily commitment to remain under his authority. By surrendering to him, we position ourselves for godly living, right? The Christian life is built around the concept of sacrifice. Jesus left the perfection of heaven to dwell among us sinful people, so that he might reconcile us to God. He offered up his life for our sake, to make payment for our sins, 1 John 3:16, and to bring us into his family. And as believers, we are to follow his example. Paul called it a living sacrifice, didn't he? Because it really is ongoing and repeated daily. Life is so full of options now. Many decisions involve a choice between following God's way or our way. Maturing Christians will, frequently sacrifice their own desires and embrace the will of God. A life of godliness is characterized by a heart and a mind bent toward the things of God. Although you're going to live imperfectly, our aim should be to obey his will and to please him. Why don't we commit to becoming more like Jesus, the one who willingly gave himself as a sacrifice for us? Paul said it best, Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by, and this really is a key, the renewing of your mind, right? These verses outline the commitment and those steps that are necessary in developing a godly lifestyle. Paul was urgently warning believers not to be conformed to the patterns of this old world, whatever they are. Our susceptibility to compromise is one of the greatest dangers in the church today. Through ungodly relationships and the impact of the media, we're being influenced by people who are not following God or His way. Our society tells us to put self first. You're number one. Take whatever you want. Protect your rights. Promote your own interest above all others. In contrast, Jesus said that our Heavenly Father will provide what we truly need, Philippians 4:19. We are to deny ourselves and follow Him, Luke 9:23. And the humble, not the proud, shall receive honor, James 4:10. Conformity to the world's ideals will lead you away from Almighty God. At the same time, Paul urged us to pursue godly transformation of our mind, to set our thoughts on things above, Colossians 3:2, and not on the things of this old earth, and to focus on what is true and right and pure and lovely, Philippians 4:8. Adopting a Christian worldview will lead to Christ-like actions. It requires making adjustments in how we look at life until our thoughts will line up with the Word of God. We must also protect our mind with biblical truth and surround ourselves with mature believers who can warn us when they see us going astray. Ask yourself, am I focusing on what's important to God? Am I avoiding compromise? Making a conscious effort to adhere to a biblical truth? That's a lot of work. Am I demonstrating a pattern of godly transformation? I pray so. Let the Holy Spirit empower you today to make the changes necessary to be more like Christ. And finally, this is some kind of story out of Seattle, Washington. Alan Naiman was known for his unabashed thriftiness, to say the least, that veered into the comical oftentimes, but even those who were closest to him had no idea of the money he had quietly amassed and his last act. The Washington State social worker died of cancer this year at age 63, leaving most of his surprising $11 million estate to children's charities that help the poor, sick, disabled, and abandoned. The amount baffled the beneficiaries and his best friends who are lauding Naiman as the anniversary of his death approaches in January. That's because the Seattle man patched up his shoes with duct tape, are you kidding me, sought deals at the grocery store deli at closing time, and took his best friends out to lunch at fast food joints. Naiman, who died unmarried and childless, loved kids, but was intensely private, skimping, investing, and working extra jobs to stockpile money. No kidding, $11 million. And he rarely spent anything on himself after seeing how unfair life could be for the most vulnerable children. That, according to his friends. They believe a lifelong devotion to his older brother, who had a developmental disability, influenced Naiman, though he rarely spoke about it. That brother died in 2013. And finally, the pastor announced there was going to be a board meeting immediately after church, so the men all gathered in the meeting room, and, well, there was a visitor. My friend, said the pastor, didn't you understand that this is a meeting of the board? Yes, said the visitor, and after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just about as bored as anyone else in this meeting. Oh, how true is that? You've been listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. Thank you for joining me each day at this time. Thank the radio station for carrying the broadcast. And remember to continue to pray for us and them as 2019 progresses. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you born again? That's today's question. Until tomorrow, God bless. Have a great day.